Afternoon. Evening.
Evening.
Evening, Governor.
So we're going to have a who's who. Introduce ourselves.
Go on, Dave.
Silence.
You're the professional.
So Tartar's Trio, we've got to use our key names. I don't want people to, you know, Facebook stalk me. So I'm David Wazza, not the name you just said. So yeah, you got DJ David Wazza in the house. Layside logo, as he likes to be called.
What the hell is Layside logo?
It's his DJ name.
Oh, is it?
What's yours, Tartar's?
I don't know. Tartar's to the three.
Tartar's to the three.
Tartar's to the three. Is that a DJ?
Tartar's cubed.
Tartar's cubed. That'll do.
And then the fridge.
The fridge gridge.
Yeah.
Fridge
98.
So we've all got DJ names tonight, have we?
Yeah.
It's a good start.
What Fred is this when he shows up in half an hour?
So we thought about talking about travel today, about cashing overseas. So Layside, where have you been?
Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Italy, Estonia, Netherlands, Belgium, Norway, Sweden, England, and Scotland.
So I'm going to hazard a guess that you'll qualify for that challenge cash.
That was the reason.
Was it 10 countries or 6? I can't remember.
I think it's 5 countries and 20 states, I think it is.
Oh, it's 10 states. Countries and 10 states.
Is that Munger's one?
Yeah. I think you've smashed that out of the park, Ben.
I don't know what states are over there, so I may only just be there on states.
Oh, it was 20 states. Was it as well as, or is it, or?
I thought it was or, so it's states.
It's 20 states or 10 countries.
No, there's one that's 10 countries.
Oh, they're different, two different challenges.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I understand.
We'll get the countries one easy.
Yeah, I got the states one.
I think I will have it, but it may not be by a lot.
Oh, I had the states one already. It's the country one I haven't got.
All right.
Where would one find all these challenges?
I don't know, they're just the unfound caches on the map. I've been looking at them thinking I want to find that cache because it's not found yet. So.
No, not so much finding the cache, but like completing the challenge. Like,
what says on the cache page? What are you going to do?
They're just on the map. You know.
Oh, so you've got to meet a criteria to be eligible to go for the cache.
And most of us have watches with Groundspeak, so we get an email every time a new cache gets published, so you sort of see these challenges come in as they get published, because that one of Munger's, it's only a couple of months old, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
And someone got logged FTF by someone that had never left the country, I don't think.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What, the 6 countries one?
Yeah. Oh. Isn't that right, Bridge?
What? Sorry, I'm just messaging someone.
I mean, it's interesting, you know, so last time we talked about, we thought Groundspeak missed the opportunity to do challenges being its own icon type or its own type, so you can actually filter through that Barnick. But yeah, obviously, I think most of them actually now, I think there's at least the last 5 years, they have to have challenge in the name.
Yeah, it's the name.
That's always been
the name.
Oh, has it?
Used to have the word challenge in there somewhere, whereas I don't know.
Added the name.
I thought we discussed that the older ones necessarily may not.
Older ones, no checker, but they still had challenge.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the new ones. Yeah, I thought the old ones had the word challenge in them as well. They had to, I'm sure that was part of the condition.
But I got told off once because I spelled it wrong.
because yours is a challenge one, isn't it?
Yeah. So my question to you, Ben, is how many caches did you find while you were away if you did that many countries?
Layside.
it's too late. How many of these have gone out? He's been called Ben how many times? Hang on, what was his DJ name?
Layside logo.
How many caches did you
logo
find?
Logo or Lego.
Logo. That's too long.
None at all under that name. So. I've still got 200 to log.
200 to log.
Plus I've probably logged that many already.
Did you do that many? And what was it, 2 months?
2 months. Well, there was a 30-something day streak there where I was averaging about 10 a day for 30 days straight. So.
Wow, that's... Well, I don't think I could keep that up for
months. I don't think I'd... I always had enough of it anyway, that too.
You can't keep up 10 caches a day for 30
I don't know
days,
how you did it for 3 years, whatever you did.
Yeah, but that was one a day. I only did 1,400 days, so that's what
I found. I found 3,600 caches this year.
Oh.
That's just over 15 average a day.
Yeah, one day I'm going to go do all those power trails, because my numbers...
That's only 2 power trails this year.
I've done hardly any power trails, so if I get around to doing those, the motivation's not there at the moment. Because I mostly cache alone, So power trails by yourself are pretty boring.
You have to do them as a social, as a group.
Which also means there's lots of work because you're driving the car, you've got to get out.
Yeah, that's
you're
right. Get back you can't in. Do it by yourself.
And that's after you've done that 50, and I have done that. I mean, I don't get me wrong, I've gone out with other people as well, but generally I'll go, you know, like I did the Pope series, I did that with Froghopper and Scoopster, so there was three of us, so that wasn't too bad. But even then, getting in and out of the car enough times, you get over it pretty quick. I don't know how many I'd want to do. Most I've done a day is 120, that's enough.
I've done that a lot by myself, 120 in a day.
But that was before Power Trails when I did that. So that was 2011.
I did 100 in a day.
120 in a day before Power Trails?
Yeah. Oh, it was a big day. Oh, sorry. Actually, I'll tell a lie. It was the first Power Trail that came out in South Australia, which was the Nexi. The first time, because the Nexi's happened three times now.
It's going to happen a fourth.
The first time was a bit more packed and a bit more.
Yeah, because you remember the very first series, and that was the first Power Trail, and that was 2010/11. It might have been 11. And so we got our bikes and went and rode it, and we got whatever it was, 50, I think it was, 50 or 60. And then we thought if we head out, we did the Farmer Brown caches and
the Prime Ministers came out in 20.
I don't think the Prime Ministers were there when we did it, because I haven't done them, so they mustn't have been. And we just did country caches.
2010, so
that was a long day to get 120. But now you could do that on one trail in maybe 2 hours or something, or maybe three. Yeah. That was a 10-hour day.
Yeah,
back in the good old days. When
I've done 100 caches not on a power trail in a day, and it's
killer.
It's tough slog.
Yeah. We need Monty, wherever he is. We need Fredo here. He'll give us some stories of the old days when you did 10 in a day, and that was
one or two for a couple
of days. When you say a group, so how many is a group? So three, four?
It depends how many cars you got. Generally it's based on get a few people in each car is normally what you do. You either have one car or you have a couple of cars depending on what you're doing. But I think back when I did that one, that was two cars and I think there was four people in each car, and we stopped at every cache, and you'd normally have a nominated finder, you go out and find it. And because we weren't doing a power trail, we all signed the logbook individually back in those days, because that's how it was done in the old days. Whereas these days now, you just people often have a group name. They say,
team name, group name.
Yeah.
That's cheating, isn't it?
I don't think it is, because I've talked to some people who've maintained power trails and they prefer it because you only get one entry in a logbook.
Yeah.
And, you know, like if you say, I think
was our whole reason for making up a team name when I did it. It was to save logbook.
I mean, we did that when we did the Rattler Trail. You were there, Ben, weren't you? When we did the Rattler Trail at Clare a few years back.
Clare. I didn't do it with
you. Oh, you didn't do it? When there was about 50 people on bikes, so this was a big, so each cache would have got 50 logs, you know. No, actually not that many, because some of the teams had multiple people, but anyway, it was a massive group. Would have been about 30 logs, I reckon, out of 50 people. And the Kelly Gang, which is his series, he said right up front, he had a meeting with everyone, and he said, we're going to sign them all with this name. I can't remember what it was at the time. And he said, just use that name, put it in there once, and that was it. Because he said, I don't want to come back tomorrow and have to replace every logbook after 30 people come past. So I think it depends on...
And by the time 30 people have got there, stopped, got off their bikes, signed book, got back on, it would have taken 10 times longer than just one person to get off.
And depending on who you talk to, I mean... It's your own game, but my own rule was I needed to at least stop at the cache site and I could see it, or I was right next to it, and that was good enough for me. And then I would just ride on. Now, the people listening to this going, what, you didn't go and touch the cache and have the logbook in your hand? I was like, well, no, I didn't, because I was with the cache owner and he was happy with that, so that was good enough. And there was other people that didn't even stop, they just rode through.
Gives you a wave and off.
So I'll honestly say that was the quickest power trail I've ever done. Mind you, it was on the bike, but... Because we went from... Actually, it was over 2 days. So one day was Clare to... Where does it go? Is it Riverton?
You were doing the Riesling. So it goes...
No, we did both. So one day we did... Oh, no, we had Clare to Auburn on one day.
Yeah.
And the next day we did Auburn to Riverton. Yeah. And then so lots of us stayed at the Caravan Park. I don't remember what year that... What year was that, Ben?
It was just after I got back from Europe. 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
Was it that long ago? I do remember.
I got back from Europe.
I do remember ice. We had ice on the car in the caravan park.
And crashed in the caravan park for a bit.
Yeah.
12 hours or something, Clint slept in the plane all over.
And actually, they're good fun, like events like that that wasn't really planned in the sense that, I mean, there was a breakfast event on, but as you know, you can't hold an event to go and find caches. So I think it was Fire Safe, and he basically said, "Nate, this is just a breakfast event. We're having breakfast at Clare," and he had a barbecue and we cooked some
about 2 degrees that morning,
bacon and eggs and that sort of stuff. And then that was it. And he said, "Anything you want to do after that's your own business." So of course, everyone went there to do the power trails, of course. And because of that, the caravan park was full of geocaches. So we had a ball, you know, there was...
it's like a mini mega sort of
thing. Yeah, it was like an unofficial June long weekend sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
So somebody had one of those, I think it might have been the Scoosters, had bloody chocolate fondue or something. So we were out there with having marshmallows, 2 degrees outside, eating, because Locust was there.
Yeah.
And lots of people there, and Fire Safe, and lots of others. And it was a really good weekend. Yeah, and it was kind of like a June long weekend that wasn't a June long weekend.
Well, we'd had June long weekend the pass across the road a couple of years earlier.
Oh, did you? Yeah, anyway, somehow we ended up in South Australia. We were talking about travel caching.
Yeah.
How did we end up back
here? Totally live, kind of, and unscripted.
Yeah.
Well, Clare is a bit of a travel.
Yeah, well, I guess that's technically travel. Not maybe an international travel caching.
Depends where you're travelling from. See, if you live north of the city to... Oh, still Clare's a fair way.
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half or something.
Like, to me, you know, I say, you know, a big trip is going to Aldingit, just travelling south from north.
Oh, that's a fair old drive from one end of the city to the other. Like,
With traffic.
From Gawler to Aldingit is a fair old trip.
Well, that's one takeaway.
South Road is getting better, but...
It's better than it used to be.
It's pretty congested still.
But it sucks from about here to get to the other side of the city. So from like Prospect or Regency Park to Edwardstown, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
But it is Adelaide. I mean, so I had 5 weeks in the UK.
Cross cities over there in about 15, 20 minutes, can't
you? Yeah. Oh, but in the UK, the traffic is phenomenal. Like, I'll never complain about traffic again here. We've got no idea.
I know, that's right. Yeah,
we have no idea.
Yeah, what, I agree.
We had a problem on a freeway over there, the M5, and they had to close it. And that, because the power line fell down, which is fair enough.
That
created, like, absolute chaos for 4 to 5 hours, like, just complete gridlock. And the place just stops.
It takes a lot for them to close a freeway over there.
Well, when you've got a power line going across, isn't good enough reason to stop people going past. And it was just bedlam. And
Monty.
Here's trouble.
How are you?
Fredo is his name.
You're better today?
I'm better today.
You're the right person to be here. We're talking about international travel caching and adventures overseas.
What about I've got maggots in my scrotum?
Is this a secret password?
That's a secret password. What's that? If you don't know what it means, do you think I can get a cache published under that name?
I don't know if that'll pass all the guidelines.
I don't see nothing wrong with that.
Did you give it a crack, did you?
No, not yet, but I'm thinking about it.
I don't think it's
a line.
I'll happily take a wager with you.
It's a running joke.
It'll get knocked back.
The musical The Book of Mormon.
Oh,
which is
topical at the moment.
Which is topical, but it's also, yeah, it's made $500 million, that musical. So that means a lot of people know.
I want to know about that quote in context. Like, what?
One of the characters has maggots in his scrotum.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Any luck with my Earth Gash?
I haven't even looked at it.
Ah, that's right. Yeah. No rush.
Well, where should we go?
You could submit it, but I don't like your chances.
Yeah, I don't like my chances either. I've got to come up with another one. Ben, are you giving me money?
Dad, what's the deal with the money?
So, mine or yours? He doesn't even know what he's doing.
No, that's the Corn accommodation.
Did you have accommodation in Corn? Or the fuel?
Yeah, we stayed with the heater.
No, that's
quite
the
nice.
Oh, well, instead of having the...
Instead of freezing air.
That first night, that Friday night,
did you see
there was ice on the table at 10 o'clock at night. The dew had frozen.
You come back hard.
You were there, Barney.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was in the next room, but the next one.
Oh, that's right. You were too nice. Yeah.
But I remember going out in the morning and checking the windscreen, and I had to scrape.
Oh, really?
You know, cold water does. That's the best thing.
Cold water's not a good idea.
No, it's too much expense.
It's just in Tassie, we have cold water bottles just sitting next to the shed, right next to the car.
You know they're going to have to use them in the morning.
Yeah, all the time.
What are you doing?
It's like a puzzle. We're not sure which puzzle it even is.
Oh, no, that puzzle. Yeah. But there's better ways to do that puzzle.
Which puzzle?
Well, I've just done it, so that's fine.
First of all, you need to...
So has anyone in this room been out and cached in the snow?
Not proper snow. Only a little. In the US,
yeah.
It was a bit. But it was only like an inch or two. I wouldn't call it snow.
The highest cache in Tasmania in January had snow covered, so you just had to dig.
In January.
Really?
There was a big snow slab over the top.
I saw snow over in the Swiss Alps.
Did you really?
Up in the mountain passes, you can see.
So
are
you looking for a cache underneath it?
No.
Because
they don't put caches in little bits of snow.
You read online, they talk about it's different hiding caches where it freezes, because you've got to use different types of containers that won't break.
Oh, really? Yeah, right.
Because of the, you know, the change of... You know,
they tend not to place them at the base of the tree.
Yeah. Under 2 metres of snow.
Yeah.
So you never see VOT in there?
I don't know.
Well, I wonder where they put them, when they put them in the tree.
Put them in the tree. Yeah. But the pine trees are...
Well, under a ledge, like under a, in a log or...
All the caches I've found on Mount Buller are plastic ammo cans.
Who's seen a bare footprint while they're walking through a cache?
No, that's not right.
I did see one.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Where was that?
That was in Wyoming.
Wow.
Wyoming? Well, it could be Montana.
I bet you got that cache in a hurry.
Yeah. But then I forgot about it at the next cache, because the next cache was a shit fight to get to, because there'd been a windstorm come through and you had to climb over 150 metres of trees to get to it.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're equipped. The locals have a gun or something, you know. But
well, that's actually an interesting thing. So I talked to some Canadians. So the locals, the Americans, they carry bear spray. So the US carry bear spray, which is basically mace.
So it's like a propellant, like a can or something.
Yeah, but it's mace. It's like a mortine sized can of mace.
Well, yeah. and it has a fair bit of a blow on it, like
God knows, but
because I don't know if I'd walk up to a bear and go.
That was the thing you had to do: make yourself look as.
Depends which bear,
black or brown.
Or they carry a black
if you fight them.
A cannon.
Yeah. Brown, you lay down.
Yeah. And you talk to Canadians, and Canadians say, "We don't carry anything. If we see a bear, we just stop and we walk away quietly."
Mm.
Whereas the Americans have got they don't walk into the bush without being...
Yeah, with an AK-47 or...
Yeah.
What about Longyearbyen in Norway? The island off the coast of Norway, where apparently you legally have to carry a gun with you and catch a gun across a bear.
Is that right? Yeah. So it's in the law?
Up north of Norway, there's an island that's covered in polar bears, isn't it?
Yeah, polar bears are different, I think.
They're a bit more aggressive.
Yeah, because they're hungrier.
And they can swim too.
Yeah. And you look just like
big claws. No, I've never been anywhere where there's bears. Well, not that I'm aware of.
That's why you always been to England. That's why we should go to England.
Yeah, England's nice.
It's supposed to be wolves in England.
Oh, is there?
Wolves are coming back. Anything.
Oh, that's what reminds me. I think I've used a tool of the trade that no one here has used. I'll give you the backstory. There's a cache in southern Wales called Extreme Waterfall, and it's about a 5 metre waterfall. It's probably about 20 metres across on a rocky outcrop, and even though it's summer over there, the water temperature is like
5.
You know when you're esky at a party, all the ice melts and you put your hand in that water?
Yeah,
that's the temperature of the water, so it's proper cold. And so I thought, oh, how am I going to do this? So I read the logs, because of course you've got to be in. So I had my shorts and a t-shirt or whatever, and obviously I had to change clothes because it's quite summer quite over there, so it was a whole 19 degrees, you know. So I went there, and I have Daniel with me, so he's only 9, and reading the logs, the recommendation was to wear a shower cap.
Oh.
And I thought, and And they said, because of brain freeze, what happens is you get in there and it just shocks. It's so cold on your head.
Oh.
So I went and bought a shower cap, a padded one, like a, with toweling in it.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Do you do that for Dawn?
This is it.
No, I've got a hoodie.
This is it.
Oh, this is your...
And there's photos on the cache page. And I went in and it really worked. Like the water, as you go into the waterfall, it hits you, the splashing hits your chest and you keep breathing in and you can't exhale. And then, but then once I got under, once I was properly wet and in there, I was right as rain. Like I was just searching for this feeling through because it's in, there's a cavity.
No pun intended.
There's a cavity sort of behind the water. It's a really good hide. There's a cavity sort of behind it, like a natural little rock ledge. Spoiler. But you can't see it. Oh, it's in Wales. That's a fair spoiler. No,
a Welsh viewers might be listening.
Actually, it's been out for years. It's only had a few finders because no one's game enough to go in there.
Put the hell on there.
All right, I'll model it for you.
So there's pictures on the cache page.
I'll give you the GC, you can look it up. There's pictures of me wearing it.
I'll take another photo.
But I just think that's a unique tool of the trade. Yeah, I thought about that. And I got Daniel one, so he had one on as well. He didn't get under the... He got in, and when he got to the bit where you lose your breath from the cold...
He panicked.
He got a bit nervous. Like mainly because I was struggling. And he was trying to follow me, and I said, no, mate, just stop there for a minute and let me get my breath back, because I couldn't... And I think he got a bit worried I was having trouble breathing. But once I adjusted to the cold, and I was fine. It's probably like going in cold water when you're diving. You know, once you adjust to it... Because I haven't got a wetsuit on or anything. You're just there. But I was stupidly thinking that the water would be, not warm, but you know, you're not expecting it to be cold. Because it's summer, for crying out loud.
So you were there too early for the heat wave then?
The heat wave, it got up to 23 in Wales.
In the big heat wave.
I was in London when it got to 35-ish on the last day.
That was the
day.
First round of it.
They had another one after I left.
We were there for the second one. So the second one,
how hot
did it get? I was pedalling around York.
Yeah.
And got to 35.
Oh, that's...
And the locals were passing out. It's not that hot.
Yeah, but it's the humidity there, though.
Yeah, but even humidity. But the interesting thing was, for me, more than the temperature, the daytime max temperature, was the thing that they whinged about more than anything else, was the nighttime minimum.
It didn't change much.
So they can't get the heat out the house.
Yeah, so the nighttime minimum was 18. And I'm thinking... 18, Adelaide 28.
Or
I've been to Moomba and it's 38. You get up at dawn and it's already 38.
But we went on the tube in London, and that was so hot.
Yeah, it was. Because they can't shed the heat in there.
Yeah, because the trains have ventilation, but it's not cooling, it's just airflow.
Yeah.
And so it's just blowing hot air on you. I mean, you need that moving air, otherwise you just
melt. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But it wasn't pleasant.
To stay out of the tube. I'd take buses or walk or ride.
Are the buses air conditioned over there? Or?
Tool of the trade, if you internationally, if you're doing a lot of caches in a city, the easiest way to get around is a bike.
Definitely agree.
I hired a bike in York.
Yeah.
And I borrowed another bike for a day.
And the bike is like a cloak of invisibility, that when you think you know where a cache is, you park the bike there and you just pretend you're doing something on the bike.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, the time here.
Yeah, like my wheel's a bit loose or my tyre and you get away with it.
And then you just fade into the back room.
Yeah, and nobody looks at you when you've got a bike.
I've seen this guy about 10 times and his bike is just...
It's falling apart.
The thing about caching is that you move 200, 300, 500 metres. And you're gone.
And you're constantly, if you're moving 300 metres, that's a long time walking. Like,
It's
a couple of kilometres of just running, which is easy on a bike.
Yeah, I think a bike will take you 2 minutes, on a walking it will take you 5 minutes.
You put me on the electric scooters though. Years ago.
Well, they don't have electric scooters in London.
They did in Norway. That were fun. Yeah.
London's got London bikes.
Yeah.
That you pay £2 to hire it for the day, and then the first half hour is free. So if you can get it, if you can ride for less than half an hour, get it back into a docking station. So we rode. So we rode. We picked up the first bike at 9:15, and we dumped the bikes before lunch. So and we hadn't paid anything apart from the £2 at the start, and we'd used 5 or 6 rounds. But it gets a bit stressful when you're trying to actually find a docking station and you're looking at the map and then you're trying to make sense of the map on the ground. And these docking stations, they look pretty obvious when you start, but they actually blend into the background. And they'll be down a side street. They won't be on a main street. So you sort of got to be able to spot them. And if you're looking down one street and it's in the next one.
Jess and I did that for New York and Washington. And New York we actually found really good. And I would always need to sponge off Wi-Fi though, like to obviously find the local port. Oh, sorry, to be able to log in to get the access code to be able to do that. And that was our only problem because we didn't have data.
Well, so you pay the first £2 with a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So that credit card at the next one, you just tap it on and it gives you the numbers.
Yeah, so that was New York's one. Then Washington's was like that. The problem with Washington actually is that they all, like, you either grab a bike and there's either, like, the car park's full and then it gets stressful because they're all...
You've got to get one in.
Yeah, and everyone's like, crap, you've got to go to the next one and that one's completely full as well. You're like, I've only got, like, 8 minutes left.
Well, what you can do, we worked out, if there's two of you, you can hire a bike, put a bike back in, and then hire the second bike and put the second bike back in. So, but if you were there by yourself, you couldn't. You'd actually be hiring an extra bike.
That's right.
And we had one moment in Hyde Park where we had headed towards this docking station that I knew sort of where it was because years ago we'd stayed nearby. We got there and the docking station was defunct. That was actually, you couldn't use it.
Mm.
So we then had to find the next one that was nearby. And it was only 2 minutes right away.
Mm. Yeah, I always like hanging around bikes in cities.
It's good.
So when we went to Melbourne, running around was good.
It's a good way to go.
Yeah, it's a good, you cover so much ground and...
Mm.
And it's healthy too.
Enjoyable.
Yeah, but what about, how many nanos did you find? All I found everywhere, in the country, it's nanos,
film canisters,
and
I didn't find any film
canisters
actually.
Those centrifuge containers tucked in stuff and trees.
Did you see the little, like, it's a little tube that's a nano, like a little plastic tube about that long with a magnet on the back? So it's actually plastic.
Yeah, I saw a lot of those.
Mm.
Yeah, they call them nanos as well.
Well, that was the other thing they do is they quite often. They will call a nano will be listed as another.
Oh.
So you
instead
have,
of saying a micro.
So it won't be a micro, it'll be other.
Oh.
And if you saw other, then you knew it would be a nano. The other thing around York, I went looking for this cache and they said it was a nano. And it was a mystery. And I solved the mystery and the hint said it was under the light.
Hmm.
So I can get there and there's... Yeah, I'm looking for a nano. So there's these magnetic lights and I'm trying to look for a nano and I'm ignoring the obvious because you wouldn't hide a nano under there. It's a hole. But it turns out it's a film canister. So they actually call film canisters nanos.
That's not a nano.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But it was a film canister and it was tucked into a hole like that over there with the bricks. And yeah, I just was ignoring it, thinking it's... And then I'm thinking, well, it can't be here. But then you look and you see it was found yesterday, so it must be here.
Mm.
But,
so I hated that one, wasn't it? Because you hated the nano, but you liked the film
tester. Yeah. No, you get used to it. I did put in Lincoln, I did 4 caches and a virtual and a couple of earth caches. But the 3 of the caches were nanos. And I nano-ranted them with 3 different nano-rants. The cache owner was not happy. he took it as offensive.
Yeah.
And I was like...
Oh. Yeah, I didn't do any nano-rants over there. I don't think they get it.
This guy didn't get it. I'd put nano-rants in York and nobody arced back at me, but this guy was back at me and I was like... Oh,
I've done some nano-rants. I've done one in Morocco. I've done one in...
You challenge your nano rant in every country of the world.
Yeah, that's right.
You're lucky you got that challenge cache out because that wouldn't pass.
That wouldn't get published now. But that even, with the ump, that took a little bit...
Oh, was that the ump, was it? Was that pre-jingle?
That was Ian.
Oh.
And that took a little bit of persuading because what I had in there was more anti-nano, and we took out a paragraph of anti-nano stuff.
Yeah, I noticed that you've got to, I mean, I think it's good the way it is now, because you've not said anything about don't hide nanos or nanos are bad. It's very new. It just says
it's
have
neutral.
A rant. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a rant, and it, the only people it has a go at is people who sell nanos.
Yeah.
Who are, yeah.
Who should be exterminated.
And burn down the factory. This guy was quite offended, so after that I didn't reply to him. I just let him stew in his own juice.
Yeah,
I let him vent. So one of them, of the three that I did, only one of them really had to be a nano. The other two, he could have had anything he wanted there, but he'd obviously got a packet of nanos.
They deserve a round then.
Well, yeah, I think we said on the last logcast that I was quoting you that you said to me that people hide what they find, and over there there's a lot of nanos, so new caches would find those and go, well, this is what geocaching is, and then they go and hide them.
Well, the nano cache rant was created purely as a behavioural modification.
It's a psychology experiment.
It works in Adelaide. People will hide one nano, but they rarely hide a second nano.
Because they fear the rant.
They fear the rant.
So go over to Perth and do a few more rants over
there. Yeah, I do rant over there.
But I think I said that last time too, that I don't think we know how lucky we are in Adelaide. Because of you, there's very few nanos here. Maybe, and every other capital city I've been to, there's heaps. And overseas as well. Whereas here, well, firstly, there's not many spots left in the centre of Adelaide.
Germany, I didn't find a single nano.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
They're all film canisters. They're just
all film canisters.
Oh, well, that's good news.
Magnetic film canisters.
Where are they getting those from? Because they're harder to get.
Yeah, I think that's right, actually.
I don't know.
Because who uses film?
Yeah, I know. That's what
Germans do, apparently.
The Germans must. Or they must have this. Maybe they actually.
Film canister factory.
If you've got the mold, you could. I mean, it's just a plastic injection. Maybe people are actually molding them for the purpose of, you know, pill bottles and that people actually want them regardless of whether they actually
Must have used
a, well, I was thinking of approaching, there's a photo shop in Blackwood near I live, and I was going to actually ask them, do you just chuck these away, because if you don't want them, I'll have them.
Well, I used to go to the one in Torrensville on Henley Beach Road, Torrensville Photographic or something like that they were, and he would collect them, keep them. He never threw them away, but he had several people.
Oh, after them?
After them. Who had nothing to do with caching. Using them for something else.
Oh, that's good. So it's not getting wasted.
Yeah. So I just like looked on eBay. So you can actually still buy the canisters. So you get like 10 pieces from China for $4.
That's not bad.
$17 from locally.
Yeah, there was 50 meat tins on eBay the other day for like $10.
So the problem with the film canisters is they're not watertight, you know. And
these are.
Go on.
Not bad.
But
the mint tins aren't at all.
No, but they dry out better, though.
Once they get hot, they dry
out.
I wonder if the film canisters survive the snow better.
Yeah. Oh, maybe.
Kodak film canisters years ago were aluminium or steel.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was Agfa.
Oh,
Agfa used to make aluminium ones. And I have looked for... you can buy an aluminium canister that's about the size of a film canister with a screw top lid. I can get them from a German supplier, and I can get them from an English supplier. But they're like $3 each, and I'd have to ship them in because they don't have an Australian supplier, and you ship in 500 of them, and it's going to cost you. Probably the best part of $1,000. So it's just not worth it.
From
Germany. But the beauty of aluminium is we could make. The equipment sink people have thought about using aluminium because the canister, an aluminium canister won't corrode.
Do you want one?
Yeah, if you
want one. It won't degrade in the sunlight.
We bought
that. Hang on a tree.
Fine.
Just a better option.
I just put it on eBay and I was like, I'll put them out in Tassie, and then I was like...
Whereas anything you make out of plastic, it's really got max 5-year life.
That's so if you paint it 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years. If you don't paint them, 2 years.
Where'd you get that big mint tin from? The one on the the new puzzle.
I got that in Italy last year.
That's awesome. Is that the fish one? Yeah, the big fish one.
With that massive magnet.
I spent 4 minutes looking for that. And there was no way I was going to ring you because you give me stick about needing glass. And then I found it. I thought, thank God I didn't ring
you. Yeah, that's right, that one.
It was so freaking obvious.
Yeah,
that was obvious. The magnetic field bending magnet you had on there. The earth field's bent there. And so I think I ran my hand and it was so solid I went past it. Yeah. Not thinking it was a cage because it didn't move.
Yeah. And then that thing is solid.
And I was thinking it was like Velcro under the aluminium bench.
Then I went,
maybe it's because there's an empty pole next to it with an empty hole. And I thought that would have been better. You missed that. It was 1 meter from the phone box. With nothing on the top. You could have had something in there. And then I went, no, the terrain's one star. You know, and then I found it. I went, you idiots.
Now, that's another thing. When I travel overseas, I go into supermarkets and I wander around the lolly sections looking for... But they don't have mint ins in Europe.
No, I noticed that.
I bought one...
UK either.
In an Aldi. No, not an Aldi. A Lida. Or Lido.
I found one
store selling mint tins.
Little? L-I-D-L, was it?
Yeah, that's
Little.
It. Little.
Yeah, blue and yellow.
Which looks like Aldi, but I don't think it is.
No, they're competition.
They had mint tins, but I reckon out of 300 cases I found, none were mint tins.
No, I didn't find
it. What you did find in Europe and Germany and Czech was Tic Tac containers.
Oh, like the little plastic ones?
Yeah, the little plastic ones, and they put tape around
them. How do you get the logbook out of that? Oh, you got to take the whole lid off?
You've got to take the whole lid off. And
that's
really not practical at all.
Suboptimal.
Just doesn't have a lip inside.
That's true.
Some of the mint tins are tins where the whole lid comes off.
Yeah, that better.
What's that help?
Altoids? Those are the ones.
Yeah, those are better.
Yeah, I found an Altoids over there.
You get them in America.
But they're rustiesly.
Turn them into survival kits, you know, the fishing line.
Yeah, those. I know what you mean. They're like fisherman's friend sort of mints, like a strong.
What's the stuff that makes your pee turn orange?
Barocca. It gives you your BB bounce.
Does it give you?
Yeah.
Do I need BB bounce?
Says the engineer.
BB bounce.
But they don't have
a lip. I like those containers because they don't have a lip inside.
Yeah, but they're not watertight though.
Yeah, they are.
Water Barocca?
Oh yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I've got heaps.
I've found plenty of soggy Barocca logs.
Well, you've got you buy them for cycling, and they come in 20 things, and you imagine I'd take 2 bottles. So in 10 days, I've got a new shoe, they're like. You buy I bought 10 tubes, so 200 tabs for $4 the other day. So I've just got heaps of these tubes.
All over the place. I'll drop some in my house then.
It's a wicked way to make them not smell anymore.
Vinegar would work.
Bicarb.
I have seen a Barocca tube that had been chewed by a cat in the wild. It was a mouldy cache.
I'll buy the plastic containers, I'll put them outside, I painted them, and I went down the shop. When I come back, my dogs had chewed them.
Oh, no.
I didn't touch them until I painted them, and something about once they were painted.
Getting high.
And completely, the whole corner
off the container,
and then the whole corner off the lid.
So well, you won't do that again, will you? You'll put them up high out of their way. Well, Fergus doesn't do that.
Paint them, then bring them inside and put the dogs outside.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about another cash painting event, too. It's been a while since we've had one of those.
We could have a cash painting event. The last one wasn't very successful.
You know you're the top event flyer in the country. This year.
This year.
This
and
year.
And,
by
of, and, of
and
all
then
time.
David's second. I'm
David. It's my competition.
David's second. Mackamob's third. I'm fourth. Ben's fifth.
In the country.
Oh my God. Of Australia.
Hang on, I'm ahead of you.
No, I'm ahead of you. I've been to lots of Ballarat events, and I've been to a lot of I'm the second or third in Tasmania for events.
But you know, that other early bird. I set my alarm, and I'm like, oh, no, stop. I'm gonna go back to sleep.
Was that the one I missed?
No, the one that you came the other day with Bill.
With Bill,
yeah.
But I was going to sleep, and in my head, I'm like, because he was already saying, like, Dave, what's that? You're going to like overlap, like, you know, Layside and all that stuff. And I'm like, now there's a pressure. And I'm like, I was happy to give them a miss when I like, don't need to. But now there's an obligation for me attending. And I'm like,
you should have come over to Europe with me. We'd go to events over there.
Yeah.
Much more relaxed.
Yeah.
Did you have an event while you were away?
I had an event, Vision 2020 at the Eye.
I did see that.
Where was it?
Oh, did you?
At the London Eye.
How many did you
And actually, it had 20 people.
You gave away logbooks because I was like reading some of the logs and it was like, oh, really cool, thanks for the logbooks.
I was giving away, I reckon I had about 50 logbooks and log scrolls and
Millicent logbooks.
Yeah, Millicent logbooks in London. And then at the end there was a pile left over, but one of the London version of Zitherin is a guy called Krop.
Yes, K-R-O-P. I've done a few of his cases.
And he's got quite a few coaches out there, so I said,
yeah, was he there? Was he?
He was there.
Oh, I've never met him.
Yeah, he's
good guy.
He's a good guy, but he, like, I said to Sally afterwards, did that look like Zitherin? And she said, yeah, that looked like Zitherin.
Oh, you reckon it's a type, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Is he a scientist?
Yeah, he could have been a clone. I don't know whether he's a scientist or not. I don't know. He got some really clever caches, and there was one cache that I went there, and it was at the entrance to a park. And the park is being refurbished. It's having stuff done to it. So there's actually a guard, like, policing the gate. And that's where the cache was. That's where Ground Zero was. And I chatted to the... I said to this guard, I said, do you know about geocaching? And he said, nah. Treasure. And he said, yeah. And that's as far as the conversation went. And I walked away because a Krupp hide will be, it'll take some thinking to find it.
Mm.
It won't just fall out. It won't be, you know, just sitting behind
some nook.
Yeah, it'll be some nook or some machine part, and I didn't want to wreck it, so I just walked away. You know, we had about 20, and we had a beautiful day. It was miserable when we got up. Everybody had an umbrella, but it was a bright sunny day.
Mm.
And the park where I was right next to the London Eye, so you had sort of,
oh, that's
nice open area.
I had mine where you had yours in 2016. Is it St. James Park? Something?
No, Lincoln Infield.
Lincoln Infield, that's right. And yeah, I got, well, I think a couple that turned up to your event because they said, oh, there's other guy from Australia. I said, yeah, that's where I got these quadrants from. And
the good thing about Lincoln Infields is that there's a pergola in the middle. So if,
that's why I did.
Well, I had an event there in 2016 and it was peeing down with rain for the entire event, so we just stood underneath the pergola and kept dry.
But that's normal for London, though.
It's normal for England. Yeah. You said the fortnight we were there, we only had one wet day.
You had the heat wave though.
In Wales, we had out of 5 weeks, we only had 2 days that rained.
Is your wife Welsh?
No, she's born in England, grew up in Northern Ireland, but her mum lives in Wales now. So, actually, I've got to say, I'll go on record, I really like, well, mind you, both times I've been there, it hasn't rained, it's been like our weather.
Mm.
And it's a beautiful place, beautiful people. The caching community there in South Wales, it reminds me a lot of Adelaide. They're mad, and they're as friendly as anything, and everyone knows everyone. And I had nearly 40 people turn up to my event, which was at a pub. And it was just like, yeah, it's like I knew them, I'd known them all my life. You know, they're really friendly. And and the other ones, he said, go do that waterfall. You know, they said, you've got to go do this cache, you know. And they told me some other ones to do that were quite iconic and things I would have missed if you weren't. It's that local knowledge thing. So go and do this, go and do that.
Yeah.
Because Wales has got 400 castles in it, in the country, 400. But then they said, so it's easy to get sort of washed out by castles. So they said, it's that one you want to do and it's that one you want to do. And like, we went up to Clanglachlan, which is hard to say. Without spitting on someone, that's the world's tallest aqueduct. It's massive. This thing is, and it was built in 18 something,
okay.
Like early 1800s. The guy was a nutter, and it was about avoiding taxes somewhere down the river. So he built this massive aqueduct to get barges through to save money. But it cost him millions and millions of pounds to build. But it is phenomenal at the engineering, the fact it's still standing today. I forgot how many metres high it is, but it's proper big, like it's...
Yeah.
Of course, there's a cache halfway across.
Yeah. That's a bit like cathedrals too, because if you go to every town and the cathedral in every town, you're soon bored with it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Whereas
Church
Micro number 10,000.
Yeah,
Church Micro 9,999.
Well, we haven't got that far yet.
Oh, it's going to happen.
There. We're getting there.
There's a lot of churches.
I'm sitting on two.
But there's ones that you talk to people and they say, go and see that one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, same thing. Yeah, like castles are like that too.
Did you take the opportunity at your event to explore the used to be church series that was taking over Australia?
It never came up in conversation.
Oh, I did. I told people about it.
We need to get some international ones happening.
I've got a few lined up in Tassie. I'm just trying to.
That's not the country now, is it?
Yeah,
it is though.
It practically is.
Let's be honest.
Peter Wise is going to do some.
Phil Wise.
Peter.
It is.
I was trying to find one in England somewhere.
I actually was surprised there wasn't a lot of used to be.
No, I couldn't find
it. I did actually see two, one in York and one in London, but it took some finding. And pretty much every church, and they'll have like a church on one corner and a church on the next corner, and they're both still functioning churches.
Yeah.
You think they must have two people turn up on Sunday,
yeah,
and then they all walk down to the other one. I don't know, but
it's got to be population density. Or we're a pack of heathens, one or the other.
Yeah.
I think we're a pack of heathens.
But they're not all on the go on Sundays.
But so you've got to think, London is London, and those churches have been there forever.
Oh, that's
whereas
true.
Whereas Australia, looking at the churches, and they were built in 1800, only not very long ago. Whereas these have been built in 9,000, sort of thing.
Oh, and a lot of what we're seeing is
9,000, 900.
There's a lot. So there was the Primitive Methodists and the Normal Methodists.
Yeah.
The Wesleyan Methodists, and then they got together.
That's right.
So that meant there's often a primitive one. So there's two primitive ones in Wollonga, and then the Methodists, the Presbyterians, and somebody else got together.
Yeah. Oh, so you reckon that's what it is?
Yeah,
so as they join together,
because it's rare that we're doing Catholics.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
they're mostly Methodists and Baptists.
But I went to a Catholic school, and they're a bit more hardcore. The Catholics, they're not giving up nothing.
Yeah, we'll burn this before we.
Well, I do know of a couple, but I think they're the one I know in Kilkenny is really small, and it's in a back street, so I don't think it was ever really.
But it is interesting in Australia how many ex-churches there are.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
We probably are. Well, it'd be interesting statistically around the world whether we're a leader in that of
shedding religion.
Well, I don't think we have any more than England would. But England is just
I think Cridge's right. That it's the historical thing. Like their church would be 400 or 500 years old. So that's
burned down three times since then.
Well, that's right. They rebuild them. They burn down and rebuild them, and they're keen as mustard over there.
Have you heard Adelaide's new slogan?
No.
We're the city of used churches.
it's nice. Actually, that's not bad.
We've got more churches.
That should have been
on
the...
We've got more used to be's and real churches.
We should have talked.
Well, that should have been on the... You know the standard blurb on the cache pages for used to be? That should have been there. Because, they say it's the city of churches. We should change that to the city of used to be churches.
Yeah, but then
it'll
focus on Adelaide. We wanted to spread
it. Yeah, that's right. Well, we had greater vision.
That's
2020.
True.
But they have multiple series running. So they have Church Micro.
Yeah.
Sidetracked.
I love
Sidetracked. Yeah.
So Sidetracked.
And then there's Really Sidetracked.
And then, what's Sidetracked and Really Sidetracked?
Well,
I didn't get that.
I'm no authority on it, but from what I could work out, Sidetracked is obviously the X railway stations or X railway lines or.
I thought the Sidetracked were just next to stations, they're
really. Really
Sidetracked.
Really Sidetracked.
Really Sidetracked are the X ones.
Yeah,
because they're the used to bees.
Yeah,
Really Sidetracked.
That might be what it is.
So
yeah,
I did
one
of those in Lincoln, and it was a Really Sidetracked. It was one of the few I did.
Yeah.
And there was nothing.
It was X railway.
Because I've done a sidetrack in Singapore. I've done one in Dubai. Actually, there's one in there.
Oh, really?
So we could do sidetracks here.
Yeah, so we should do a couple here just to be able to.
Or used to be a.
And then Really Sidetracked.
Found 5 or 6 puzzles just over here near the Islington workshops, which is from you and Bob and Hurdle and everybody.
They're all really side. And they're really sidetracked.
They have sidetracked
a bit. And then the other one they do is a fine pair. So a fine pair is a fine pair is where there's a red letterbox and a red phone box within 10 meters of each other. So one's here, one's here. Sometimes they're right alongside each other. So And typically it's a multi, so you then got to get the phone number and the
letterbox number.
Do some multi stuff.
Oh, that'll take you somewhere.
Yeah, that'll take you.
So there's a phone near a letterbox.
Yeah, and a phone, and it's called a fine pair.
So a theme is just something
random. Yeah. I never did that.
And then the other one,
they have plus,
that I tried, but the only one I tried, I failed at, and it's VS number, and that was village sign. Welcome to whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've done that one, and then there was a numbered series in war memorials.
Oh.
And they tended to be, they could be anything.
There's a lot of those up now. Like, so I was looking at where it goes overseas, and there's a lot of those actually at parks and memorials and all that.
Yeah.
Well, they have sidetrack events.
But sidetrack's good.
And they also have park events. There's a series of events where they just go and have them at plaques.
Mm.
I went to one of them. I don't know what the plaque would be.
Is your wife home?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, you better go home then.
Oh, yeah.
We wonder where you are.
We'll do a bit of
geocaching.
On the way home. All right. Thanks,
cool.
Barney, for the event.
No worries. We'll see.
This is take three.
So what happened to 13? Is 13 coming back?
Yeah.
Did we have 13?
In a fortnight. I had to change the day and...
That's
the right way.
You
want
to flick it over?
So, Logcast 13
resurrected.
That's right. Yeah.
There's a few themes going on actually, and there's event themes.
I was
going to
hold off and wait
the breakfast
until the 13th of September, because this is 11.
What's the next event? Mine.
So 13. 11.
Have you got a Friday the 13th? That'd be good.
The night owls.
We've got a couple of caches to place on the way down. I'm going to fill in some gaps in the DT grid.
That's the pictures of that waterfall I saw about.
Oh, that's so cool.
So it's there. There's the money shot.
That's awesome. That's so good.
And it's a decent size.
You actually have to stand there.
It's behind the waterfall, like the actual
That's
height.
Awesome.
People have done it in winter, where it's absolutely...
Where it's frozen?
No, it doesn't freeze, but you get like...
Yeah.
You need...
Could
it
be
actually,
a gravity icicle
you're
coming down?
You see the horse on
cool.
It. Like, it's really strong. They actually have helmets on because of the pressure of the water.
Yeah.
When I did it in summer, that's the time...
I guess if you're local, you'd have helmet, eh?
But it was... That water was esky cold.
Yeah, yeah.
No worries.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
See ya.
Friday night.
That was what it was. So you left your phone with the water.
Yeah, no, my love.